Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around, by our Run the City 5K. That's runthecity5k.com. Coming up on Thursday night, June 15th, down at Liberty Station in beautiful San Diego, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes, on babbittville.com. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest is a four-time U.S. memory champion, Mr. Nelson Dulles. Now, Nelson, I have never spoken to a memory champion before. So for our listeners, talk a little bit about when you got into memory development, I guess.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Memory training or memory techniques, brain health improvement, whatever you want to call it, that was something new to me about 7 or 8 years ago. A lot of people will say, when did you figure out that you had this skill? And that's the first thing I correct them on, because it's something I learned. It's something I taught myself and practiced every day, just trained a lot. But I got into memory sports because of my grandmother, who had Alzheimer's, and kind of seeing her suffer with that every day, eventually leading to her passing. It just got me hooked on the idea that I needed to train my brain. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I wanted to find a way.
So growing up, and where did you grow up?
All over. My parents are European, they're French and Belgian. We moved a lot, but I was born in England, moved to Miami, then back to London, Paris, then Miami. And Miami is kind of where I've made my home base nowadays. I did high school and college down here.
Now, were you into sports growing up?
Yeah, I'm really tall. I'm like 6 foot six and a half.
Wow.
So I was always forced to play basketball until I liked it, which I love basketball, but that wasn't always the case. So I was always being forced into sports because of my build.
Right. Yeah.
So fitness is a huge part of my life. I don't play basketball much anymore. I'm a CrossFit guy right now.
So out of high school, were you thinking of collegiate sports, or at that point, did you know what your direction was going to be?
No. I played JV and then varsity basketball in high school, but was never like, I was a big guy that they just put down there to play center.
Right.
So I was the tallest guy in my school, but
yeah,
I wasn't necessarily very good. I actually got a lot better at basketball playing pickup in college, which was frustrating because maybe I could have become something. That was it. Nowadays I realize I probably should have been a rower. I'm a really strong rower, but nobody ever introduced it to me.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. It's always fascinating when you find out, because we've seen it so many times in the sport of triathlon, where someone comes from the swimming background or running background, and all of a sudden they become the best in the world. Well, they're like, gosh, if I knew this 10 years ago,
yeah,
right? You sort of find your calling sometimes later. And
exactly.
I know you do a lot of mountaineering as well. When did that come into your life?
Well, I think, growing up, traveling a lot, we found ourselves kind of going to a lot of beautiful places around the world. I was privileged enough to be able to do that. And I always found that we ended up in places with mountains. And I didn't really know that I liked the mountains, but as I got older and started doing travels on my own, I realized I was always in places where there were mountains. And I loved the feeling of being small and insignificant compared to these massive giants. And it wasn't until I went to New Zealand, which was in the early 2000s, that I saw a friend of mine's pictures of her dad climbing Mount Cook. And he's like, this is me on the summit of Mount Cook. And it looked like an expedition and really windy and snowy. And I was like, I didn't realize, everyday people did that. And he's like, I climb mountains. And so that kind of stuck in my head. And ever since then, I kind of thought to myself, well, look, I love to travel. I love to push myself. I love challenging my body and fitness. Why not go travel to places and attempt something and get a really cool cultural experience while also seeing nature and doing something that I can walk away with a very cool experience.
What was fascinating to me is I remember growing up and reading about a basketball player named Jerry Lucas, who was he could pick up a book and memorize it. He was on Johnny Carson, all these shows where they would just have him look at a book and he could pick and remember a word and what page he was on. It's like that always fascinated me. Now, growing up as a student, did you notice that? Did you have a photographic memory where you could just remember things?
Right. So I say not at all. I mean, I had, honestly, an average memory.
Yeah.
I will say that I had a very high interest in math and numbers. I ended up studying physics and mathematics. Mm. That's what I got my degree in. I guess I was maybe slightly better at remembering numbers, but nothing that you would write home about impressive. But my thing was is that I would study hard. I had very good study habits and work ethic, and that's really what got me through college and school with really good grades. But memory, no, honestly, this is average.
And what was it that, like you mentioned, your grandma with memory? But so was there a specific moment where you found out, okay, they have tournaments for memory and I can train for this? What was that turning point for you?
Yeah, honestly, I did it after I was kind of motivated. This was maybe a few weeks after my grandmother passed. This was 2009.
Uh-huh.
I told myself, well, let me see what's out there. I mean, there's got to be ways to, like, keep your brain healthier or something. Maybe
mm-hmm.
diet or fitness or whatever. And one of the first things I looked up was memory improvement, and I saw this USA Memory Championship, one of the first things that popped up. And as I looked kind of in the articles about it, and interviews done with former champions, they all would say the same thing, which was, I didn't have a good memory. I learned these techniques, and I just trained a lot.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the key thing. I was like, train your memory? That seems like a weird idea.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought memory is something you have.
Right.
Like, you're really good at it, or you just don't have, and then that's kind of your gift, right, that you have or don't have. But to train it, that's really what got me hooked.
Give me an idea of a technique, because I've noticed as you age that you're walking somewhere in your house and you're like, wait, what was I just looking for again? You have these what we call our senior moments. What do you do? I know it's a loaded question, but just techniques that people can use to improve their memory.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of little nuanced things for different types of things you may have to memorize, numbers, names, whatever. But underneath it all, the basic foundation for an improved memory, the techniques are kind of all the same. And it all surrounds this idea that our brain works better with pictures. A lot of the things that we're encountering in daily life, they're essentially abstract for our brains. Our brains are designed to see pictures and remember pictures. So when we see like a name, a foreign name is said to us, that doesn't really mean anything. We can't picture that. So that's why it falls out of our memory. But suddenly when you meet someone, like say you met me, Nelson,
yes.
And you come up with a picture for that name, you think Nelson Mandela, you can imagine who Nelson Mandela is. That's a very iconic picture in your mind. Suddenly that name sticks. There's a little more work to it, but that's the basics of memory, is take what you're trying to memorize and turn it into a picture, or really try to visualize it in your mind.
What's funny is I find, and some of my friends, some of the athletes are amazing. There's a Ironman champion named Dave Scott, and people will walk up to an expo booth, and he hasn't seen them in years, and he'll be like, oh, Jim, we met. And I'm like, oh, my God. I have family members. And I'm like, wait, what's that person's name again? Some people just, and I don't know if he trains for it, but for some reason, some people are just very, very good with names, and a lot of us wish the whole world was walking around with name tags on all the time.
Yeah,
that seems to me is obviously one of the most important things, is to remember names. But it's also, I think, one of the hardest.
Yeah, I agree. And to talk more on that point about how some people have it seems, maybe a better skill set at memorizing names or whatever. I think also what is important for improving memory is, and this is going to sound bad, but hear me out, is being interested and paying attention.
Right.
And so for a guy like him, you know, not to say that we don't care about the people we meet, but maybe that's just important to him more than other people place importance on it. So when he meets someone, he's very invested in the people he meets, and he learns a lot about them. He's focused on them. It's very easy to be distracted or think about other things, not on purpose or because you're, you know, you got a big ego or whatever, nothing to do with that, but just some people maybe are, they love it. They love to, like, really learn about the person, and that adds context to a name and to a person's story and helps you remember them. So some people are just, I think, naturally better at that. Some people are people persons, some people aren't, you know, and I think that affects that natural skill. You can always learn it, but I'm saying just naturally that affects it.
Well, when I was reading through this, so you memorized 201 names in 15 minutes and 256 words in 15 minutes and 907 digits in 30 minutes. I mean, it's mind-boggling. So take me through one of these competitions. How are these things set up?
Yeah, so there's this is the USA Memory Championship. It's like the Super Bowl of memory. It's every year. Typically, it's in New York City around this time of year. I think this year it might be later this year just for other reasons. But it's basically a single-day event. The morning is split up into four kind of trials of memorizing names, memorizing a deck of cards as fast as possible, memorizing a huge long number, and memorizing an unpublished poem. And the top eight scores overall of those four events move on to the afternoon round, which is kind of like a bracket-style elimination playoffs round. So there's three rounds. One is memorizing a list of words. Another one is memorizing facts about the audience, like their name, where they're from, phone number, all that stuff. And in the final, it's usually whittled down to about three athletes, mental athletes, and they have to memorize two decks of cards in 5 minutes, and then it's recited on stage one by one, and whoever is left standing without making a mistake is the champ.
When you went to your first competition, did you surprise yourself? I mean, that's a sort of a scary thing when you're doing something for the first time and you're the unknown. People don't really know who you are, and there's already people who have been champions at this. What was that first experience like?
Well, so early on, I went to one the year that I got into memory techniques. That was 2009, and I was so brand new to it. I had kind of learned the techniques. I had just gotten started, and I did okay. I think I ended up middle of the pack.
Yeah.
But for me, it was more like a scouting
day,
just to kind of see the top dogs and where I needed to get to for the next year. And once I did that, I trained like crazy. And in 2010, people still didn't know who I was, which was good for me because I kind of snuck under the radar.
Yep.
And then suddenly I started putting up these numbers, and people were turning their heads. There were cameras there, and they started, like, shifting from the guy who was going to win, who actually eventually did win. I made it to the finals, and everybody was talking about this new guy, Nelson, what's he doing? Where's he from? And then I actually made a mistake in the very last round and lost, which was heartbreaking for me. But it only fueled me even more, and I ended up winning the next year. So
when you talk about training, in my mind, I visualize you're just sitting there with lists of names and lists of numbers and just practicing over and over again. Is that basically training?
That's a big part of it. I know that sounds kind of boring to visualize, but there's a lot of incredible things going on in my head. It's very exciting what's going on in my head, at least to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, memory in competition form, it can also be very, like, active. My heart rate's elevated. I'm sweating. I'm trying to focus intensely with all these distractions. So, you know, I do a lot of training either at the gym while I'm running on the treadmill or on the bike or rowing or doing a CrossFit workout to try and mimic these really high-stress situations. And if I can memorize in those, then for sure I can memorize when I'm sitting down at a competition where it's absolutely quiet, you know?
So the physical training really helps with what you're trying to do mentally.
I think so. And I think that's been the difference for me versus a lot of the other memory guys. You know, I don't know really anybody else who does. You got to picture the landscape of a memory competition in terms of the athletes. It's all over the board, but you don't really see anybody who's
that fit.
A fitness enthusiast, that's right. Yeah.
Well, but you know what's interesting about that? I think all of us realize when we change our nutrition and we're eating better and we're eliminating a lot of the starchy and carbs and things like that, we're less tired, we're a little sharper. I mean, to me, that's a natural.
Exactly.
If guys are coming into these type of competitions without those skills and without the work, we all feel better after workout and all, not just feel better, but we are sharper.
So it sort of
surprises me that you sort of stand out a little bit in that respect.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, it seems like, you know, the memory techniques aside, like, you're trying to keep this machine in your head like as finely tuned as possible. So everything else that you can put into it and to treat it well, you got to do it. So to me, that's obvious. Eat right, feed it the right things, and get enough sleep and be physically fit as well.
So you've climbed Everest?
I've attempted it 3 times, yes. I have not summited. I've come extraordinarily close all 3 times, but I've had to turn around for one reason or another. It's been this elusive, frustrating kind of goal, but, you know, a long-term goal. I've always planned out it's going to be not always I didn't think it was going to be an easy task. But, yeah, I haven't summited yet. That's still in the plans.
So are you trying to summit other, other major mountains as well?
Yeah, I mean, to climb Everest takes so much out of my year. It's a 2-month expedition. I give up time at work, and, it eats my body. I mean, last time I was there last year, I lost 37 pounds. And so it just takes a lot out of you. So I'm not climbing it every year. I've had to space it out quite a bit. And so in between, I love to be outdoors. I love to do some smaller climbs. And I'm always trying to climb other things.
So you put on your own extreme memory tournament?
Yep. So, this USA Memory Championship it's been around for 20 years. But it lives in, like, the basement of this building, and it gets some coverage here and there. But to me, you know, you have the spelling bee on TV.
Yes, yes.
You know, poker on TV. And it's like, what about memory? I feel like this is fascinating, and it's something that if people knew more about, because honestly, most people don't even know what a memory competition is, but they'd be so interested in learning how to do it and to be a part of it. So I said, okay, I need to come up with something that's a little more attractive than watching people sit down and close their eyes, think about things. That's not very exciting. So I came up with this idea called Extreme Memory Tournament, and it's a competition that's all digital, first of all. So we can display on screens, on handheld devices, what people are memorizing and how they're recalling it live, which is, I think, a very important step to making memory watchable. And then the second part is to make it one-on-one. So it's memory battles, memory matches.
Exactly.
So we've run that 3 years, actually, in San Diego. There's a neuroscience company called Dart Neuroscience where we've held it out in Poway.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, it's been really successful. We just changed the name, though. It's now Memory League Championships. So it's the Memory League.
The Memory League. I like that. It sounds like a superhero thing.
Exactly.
The Memory League.
Yeah.
When you think about the spelling bee, it's kids on television spelling names. I'm not gaining anything from that watching it.
Yeah,
but what you have is you're talking about, hey, here's a skill that we're doing, but it's something that you can learn, right? That's going to help you as a business person. So there's an application there that makes way more sense than the other stuff that's getting televised. Yeah. So that to me, and that making that part of the show, seems like that would make sense. Now it's in the one-on-one where you can get a little behind the scenes on who these characters are. And what is, when you're doing the, in some sports, there's a lot of camaraderie and people are working together. Is there psych games that goes on here, or is it really just you and the other person? We're all buddies and we're just competing here.
Yeah, it's a fun little community of competitors, I gotta say. I mean, we're all very open with how we train and mm-hmm. the techniques we use. They vary maybe from person to person, but because we all know at the end, it's about how much time you put into training. So
right.
If I explain to you my technique on how I memorize cards real fast, you might be enlightened a little bit, but ultimately you'll find out that I train a ton, right? So that you got to put in the same if you want to get there. But so in that sense, we're all very friendly and open. But at the same time, I've had some warfare type strategies that I try to put
sure.
out there at these competitions to get inside their heads, because it's a head game.
It's a big time head game. It's really all it is.
Yeah.
Winning the title. When you like you said, you came very close, and then the following year you won it. What was the feeling like when you did win it?
Well, it was like I couldn't believe it, honestly. I mean, I was right there till the end. I mean, I knew, I was confident that I had the skill set at that point to win it. I just wasn't sure about the other people, if they would be, neck and neck with me and outlast me a little bit. So I think that year I went in just saying, look, you've trained so hard, you know what you can do, just do that. And if someone beats you, that's the way it was. At least you put everything you could into it. And that's what I did. I remember being that year not being confident, overconfident in winning, but confident in what I could do. And that's what I stuck to. So when I won, I kind of wasn't ready for it. I was just in my zone, and then it just hit me, and it was, for my grandmother, it was mm-hmm. years of practicing every single day. I remember when I started looking up at the top scores and being like, wow, I'm starting at nothing and I have to get to that impressive score. And here I was 2-3 years later, having beaten the records and being the best.
I love
an amazing
that.
Feeling.
So yeah. When you consider training and you're looking at your day and say, I train X amount of hours a day, do you consider you've got the mental side and then the workouts you're doing at the gym and running the treadmill and all of that, CrossFit, all of that, yeah. Do you consider this is my training program and all of this is incorporated?
Yeah, it's that's my program. I always spend time in the actual physical gym every day.
Uh-huh.
Unless I'm so beat up that I need a rest day. And then I'm also in the mental gym. I train for these specific events that they have at the competitions, and that's kind of like I time myself, and I have benchmarks that I try to match or beat. And I do other little drills that help my focus or my speed. It's not always memorization. It mostly is, but I have a lot of drills that I do, but I spend a lot of my day, like an athlete would.
Exactly.
Fine-tuning. My little brain there.
Now, is it a national and international circuit of events? Is there prize money? When the poker tour is on, right? They have an international tour, yeah. And there's a prize purse and all the rest of that.
So that's what I'm trying to.
That's what you're trying to create.
Yeah, but because a lot of these competitions, no, there is no prize money. I mean, there have been years where there's like a little bit. Maybe a few $100 or something like that.
Right.
Nothing crazy. And then there is a world championships, which in the past few years has had some prize money, which is great. They've been in like China and Singapore. And there are different international competitions in different countries, in France, London, England. They're all over the world. So I've won the U.S. one. I've never won the world. But I try to compete in other places just to get a bit of the flavor, but
sure.
The U.S. one is really where I shine.
Well, it seems like in this particular sport, If I'm a triathlete, it's the same. If I'm a runner or a cyclist, the language doesn't matter. But if you're talking international tournaments, are they in primarily in English, or do you have to learn other languages to compete?
So some of the events, like numbers, cards, are language dependent.
Yes.
So that's good. But then, of course, memorizing words or names, or some of the text-based ones, you can request the language that they are given to you in. And that's kind of this point of contention sometimes, because I'll have an English list of words that I memorize versus a German list for a German competitor. And my word for hat, you know, three-letter word is like some 10-letter word in German. I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so there's always this question about whether that's fair or not. But you can ask for those questions or that information in different languages.
So is there a website people can go to get some of your tips on? Like you said, this isn't watching a magic trick where it's, hey, this is a sleight of hand. This is study. It's hard work, obviously. But I'm sure there's tech, like you said, you gave me that visualization thing, which is now something that I'll take with me. Is there a website where people can go to find out more?
Yeah, sure. If you can go to my website, nelsondellis.com. I have some videos, some tips.
Oh, cool.
My blog's there. And just to reiterate, to become a champion is where it's the tons of training, I guess. And that's with anything, right? But for the listeners out there who are interested in improving their memory, that little tip I gave you is just the beginning. There are plenty of other techniques that you can learn immediately and apply them immediately and be impressed and amazed by what your brain can actually do. I'm a big believer in the fact that we all have an amazing memory. It's just you need to be given the words and the explanation on how to unlock that.
Right.
Which we're never taught, which is crazy. You know, it's like the one tool you need in life, and you're never taught properly how to use it.
It's funny because you think about it. When you're going through high school or college, do they teach you how to balance a checkbook? Do they teach you how to memorize? No. The things that probably the most important are the things that you never get taught. So do you do a lot of speaking to corporations about the skills that you're talking about? Are the keys to business, knowing people's names, remembering the discussion, all that type of thing. I'm imagining you're doing a fair amount of that.
Yep. I told you I studied physics and math, and I was a software engineer first while I was learning these techniques, and then switched over to full-time speaking.
So, oh, good.
Yeah, I started getting requests. As I won the championship to come speak for companies, and that's what I do now. I've been doing it for the past 5-6 years, and I love it. I love teaching people and showing people that they have this skill. And I've talked to so many different businesses and at different events. It's all over the board. Everybody has a memory. Everybody needs memory techniques. I've spoken to businesses, sports teams, universities, for students. It's all over the board.
From sports teams, in terms of memorizing these playbooks and
exactly.
everything they're doing, there really isn't a business or organization that couldn't benefit from what you're talking about.
I agree. I would love to do more in that area because I love sports and relating memory to sports. I was a good friend of mine was an announcer for a basketball team, and he's the one that saw me at one of my first gigs years ago, and he was like, this would be perfect for a basketball team. The last timeout, 3 seconds left on the clock, and the coach huddles everyone over and draws this really quick play. And you as a player, there's a lot of noise, you got to focus, and then you're thrown back out on the court, 3 seconds left, game on the line, and you're like, wait, where am I supposed to go?
Well, and the announcer as well. The announcer's got to memorize. He's got to know the rosters. He needs to know as many of the stats as possible about these athletes. All their numbers. Yeah, exactly. The more I think about this, there really isn't any business that we can talk about that doesn't need this.
Yeah, that wouldn't benefit from it. Yeah,
I love it. Hey, Nelson, congratulations on everything you've done.
Thank you.
Four-time USA Memory Champion. That's very cool. What's your next challenge in terms of mountaineering? You have anything coming up?
So this summer, I'm going to be going to Pakistan to climb in the Himalayas there.
Wow.
I've never been to that part of the Himalayas, and I'll be going with some friends that I climbed with on Everest a few years ago, and we're going to be just kind of doing our own independent thing and seeing. We're going to trek to base camp of K2 and then kind of climb around there. I'm not climbing K2 yet, but we'll be doing some challenging peaks around there.
Well, it's always interesting to me, and I've had a number of people on who've climbed Everest before, and the thing that always was a non-starter for me was, okay, we have to do all the acclimatization before we go. And you're sitting in base camp for, I forget how many, is it 6 weeks or 4 weeks, something like that. Well, before you even start, before you even start climbing, and I'm like,
God. Some people do it before they even head out to Nepal. That's true.
Yeah, that would drive me out of my mind. It would be the worst. Nelson, thanks again for taking so much time. Congratulations on everything you're doing. It's obviously for all of us folks, learning more about how to harness our own memory is huge. And knowing that you can get better, because I think a lot of us think, as I age, similar to the fitness side, you're going to lose fitness. And now we know that, no, that's not necessarily true. You can change your nutrition. You can change what you're doing. And there's no reason that you have to get out of shape. Well, there's really no reason, it sounds like, that you have to be losing your memory. You can work on it and actually improve it. But the key is knowing what those tools are. Love it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Nelson Dallas has been our guest again. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around. Run the City 5K. That's RunTheCity5K.com. Thursday night, June 15th at Liberty Station in San Diego. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville on iTunes. Subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. And as always, endurance lives here.